Welcome to Security Today Podcast. I'm your host, Uncle Bear. You can find me on Instagram at Uncle B-A-E-R underscore and at Security Today Podcast. This is another Bid to Bank brought to you by Sprinter Business Solutions. You can find them on Instagram at Sprinter Datacom. And I have just been loving this series, and I knew I had to get my man Dan on here to give us a little bit of perspective. So if you have been following along, and if you have not been following along, you can go back and watch any of the Bid to Bank series that have been done on the podcast as we try to bring entrepreneurs and people who are leading businesses in our industry to come in and kind of run us through from the bid to the bank, just to show a little bit of perspective on how people handle the job from start to finish a little bit differently. Hopefully you're catching nuggets, you're catching peaches and being like, oh yeah, this is what I wanted, or this is going to help me out, or it's good to know that someone else is doing it this way. So we had to get Dan on here from Locks Plus, and we're going to get into it right now. So thanks so much for being here, Dan. I really appreciate the time. I know we kind of went back and forth there to get on it. It's been like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. I didn't think it was going to happen, but I knew we were going to make it work somehow, for sure.
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
Yeah.
So just
thanks for having me.
Yeah, not a problem, man. Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Locks Plus, and then maybe a little bit about how you got into this industry and what Locks Plus does.
Well, we're a small business in theory that operates as a big business down here in South Florida. We do doors, frames, and hardware, supply and install, and selling to projects. And it kind of started with my father started the company 30 years ago, and I was homeschooled. So I always was kind of entrepreneur mind. I started a lawn company, but it is hot here in Florida. And he would take me when I was done with my school, and I'd go help him. One of my first jobs was just doing pivots with him, taking down doors and just being a little bit of an extra hand with him. And since then, we've been able to retire him out. My brother works with me. And then we have my wife and sister in the office doing projects and accounting and all that. So we are a true family company from start to current, and with a couple new employees coming on very soon. So.
Oh, awesome.
That's us. Yeah.
And you say South Florida, but man, I see on your Instagram, you running the whole state.
Well, I'm sure as you've heard and seen, if they'll pay, you can go.
Yeah,
you know, I've seen you out places too. You're not a small radius yourself. I know that. So it's, you know, when you develop these relationships with certain companies and they know that you can get a project taken care of and they're willing to pay for you to go there, we'll make that accommodation for our clients when we can, as reasonable as possible, of course.
Awesome. And so the Locks Plus repertoire, you guys kind of span from frame to door to hardware. How's that work out?
Yeah, I pretty much say you just take the rough opening and everything that goes on in there. And the only thing we don't do, even though you guys in this channel is more leaning towards that with the access control, is we don't actually do the running of the wires and the access control programming, but we work very closely with a lot of integrators to do that. So a lot of times we found that some of the access control guys don't want to install the hardware, or they just don't do enough of it. So they're like, you can do a clean installation and we'll bring you in to work with us, or and vice versa. So that's what we do. We do supply doors, and I get slabs and manufacture them, weld together frames and custom openings and all that stuff. So that's what we do. We're commercial business. We don't really do any residential at this point, no automotive. I know that's like a big no-no in the locksmith community, but like I said, it's hot here in Florida, and spend a couple hours in the car, it can be taxing. So we've got ourselves a really good avenue here with construction, and we like it a lot. Yeah, it's definitely changed our company the last couple of years.
Do you do like automatic door openers and stuff like that?
Yeah, we're ADAM certified, so we do automatic openers and maintenance to them. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, let's that's a great synopsis. Let's get into it from the bid to bank. So on this podcast, we start with the marketing and the sales. So from the marketing and the sales aspect, what is, and I'm curious about this with your specific business, what's your most sold product or service, and when during the sales pitch do you interject that product or service?
I don't know if it sounds silly, but our most sold product is probably ourselves. when it comes down to it. We don't have a specific product that we sell a lot of because it is construction. It's a door with handle sets and the whole package, right? So one thing that I can say that we sell is ourselves, our knowledge, and being upfront with the client and giving them what they need, and also telling them, hey, I can make a lot of money off of you, but I'm going to recommend the right way to do this and stuff that can save them money. So I think that's our most sold product as far as marketing goes. Word of mouth, reputation. We have been able to find ourselves in some spaces with other people, other clients and stuff like that, and just talking to them and asking them their needs. And sometimes it goes from just, oh yeah, I have one question for you, to a lifelong client. So that's been our biggest marketing tactic. Instagram, Facebook, I have. And what I've found with that is I've really made some good friends off of that, you being one of them. You know, I didn't know you a few years ago, and now all of a sudden we're, you know, years later talking on a podcast about our businesses. So I think that's been a big thing for us too. And I have people hitting me up and they're like, we follow your Instagram, and I don't even know anything about locks, but you just, you know, good content, stuff like that. So we keep up with that too.
Yeah, that's awesome. So most of the things that come to you working in the construction space, is it like a new build? We got 45 doors we need installed, and here's the door schedule and stuff like that, or do you do on the
Yeah,
service side too?
so we have national service providers that we deal with and we help out with, that manage chains and other places, facilities like that. And then we have construction companies that go from building ground up, from pouring the slab to changing one lock inside of a facility. So those are what we do, going through blueprints, checking out schedules, attending meetings and walkthroughs. We do have a lot of that stuff that we do. Yeah.
And so I'm sure that those relationships have, you know, you've probably had some that have spanned the entire life of Locks Plus. And then maybe as you're growing and getting new employees, you're getting out there and getting more of those relationships built. What,
Yeah.
how do you approach maybe the construction field to like become the door guy for like, are you a door guy for like for a GC, or are you a door guy for a client who's got a new build? How's that usually work?
Well, we do both, actually. I have some that I've worked with the clients and they've brought me into their GC, and then I have others where the GC mainly will bring us in as they're recommended. So what we'll do is, cards, carry your card around and you see those things, and hand out a card and saying, hey, you know, I was doing work here next door and I noticed that your front door is a little bit off, and I don't want to take away from whoever's doing that, but either, you know, just I noticed this thing that can be fixed. And a lot of times they'll go, oh wow, you know, do you mind fixing it for me? Or, you know, just we'll keep you on file. It's hard to find good guys. And one thing that has been a big answer to our consistency with our clients is just answering them, you know, telling them that you received an email, answering their call, giving them your cell phone number and shooting them a text message back. And, you know, being able to be reached is a big thing for these clients a lot of times, because they'll feel like they can't get a hold of you, or the other company's too big or too small and can't answer the phone and stuff like that. So having those answers for your clients definitely shows a lot. And I definitely think that that's spoken a lot for the company and the reputation that we have.
That might be the golden nugget of the podcast right there, because I feel like it's so the industry itself is just, you know, teeming with like projects and sites and you know, things going on left and right. And I say on the podcast often, like the trough is full, you know. And so you get out there though, and you find that it's, I would say, just from, you know, self-survey, if you will, of knowing people in the industry and stuff like that, people like usually don't have a great experience. Like the great experience is pretty rare. And so one way to make sure that the great experience is being delivered is just being able to be reached. I think that's huge. Like not waiting a couple weeks to get back to an email or, you know, something like that. So that,
Not waiting for them to ask if you received it. Simply hearing a schedule go out and having it be a blast email and replying back to that one singular person and saying received and following is like, okay, we know that Locks Plus is keeping up with the project, even though it has nothing to do with them. So that stuff is huge. Or letting them know, hey, were delayed because of X, Y, and Z, or keeping them updated is definitely big, because then a lot of these people have clients and schedules they need to meet themselves. So granted, you're not just working for that one person. You have other calls, other services you need to be taken care of, but they have the same thing and they need to be able to tell their client, you know, my guy is working on it, and feel comfortable with that answer.
Yeah, that's awesome. So getting into like the bid. So when you get these GCs call you and they've got a new project, and like you said, they'll reach out with a blast email. Sometimes I know that with Sprinter, we work on like, I forget what it's called. It's kind of like Autotask. It's where you can like log into the project itself and then, you know, get the prints off of it and stuff like that. But do you use a quoting software when you're doing bids like that?
Our quoting software we use is QuickBooks.
Okay.
So we do everything through QuickBooks, from our accounting to our quoting. That all goes through QuickBooks, from our construction down to our national service providers that we give them billing and invoicing to. So we do everything through QuickBooks. It's been working for us. It's something we've kind of just been grandfathered into. Mm-hmm. And as they've grown and changed, we've taken advantage of different systems and different features that they've been able to offer us. So everything does that. And just keeping the quotes as detailed as possible has been a big key. Because although you can get a software to do a bunch of different things for you, at the end of the day, you still should be entering in details that are necessary to that client, to that project, that they're going to ask you, and you get comfortable with that. And, you know, they're going to ask me this question, so I'm going to already have it in there for them. And a lot of times that's stuff that saves one or two emails, but it makes it work out better and smooth process in the long run.
Mm-hmm. And do you engineer the prints when you get them?
What do you mean by that?
So like, oh, well, I guess maybe this is more from your business. It might look a little bit different, but when you get your prints from the GC, and that usually comes with a door schedule, do you how do you move from that print to getting into like the project? I guess getting to your distributor. Like when they give a door schedule to a company like you, do you already have those doors in stock? I guess I'm trying to ask a detailed like question, but why don't you just take what I just said and just run with it?
All right. Well, we get hardware groups if it's a big project, and we'll go through the hardware groups, look for any conflicts that could arise. You got to look through different sections of the plan to make sure that you're not missing something, because sometimes, you know, architects like to hide things on you. So we definitely have to look through those things and check the notes, and putting it together at that point, we're just, a lot of stuff we do have. I do have good inventory in the back. We just moved into this warehouse now, so we're able to definitely plan ahead. We get doors and frames and hardware groups set aside. But we also have a lot of times where projects could take longer, and we're able to then order in the projects pre-manufactured. So it's a time situation too. A lot of stuff that we have is able to be done to keep up with last minute demands. And sometimes you're able to just order everything pre-manufactured. So we definitely go through the plans and build them with what they ask for. And then sometimes you have to make changes and go through them a little bit differently and let them know, like, hey, I know you want this and this, but they're not compatible. So we definitely try to look forward to that. And even when it comes to like access control, a lot of times we try to make sure that we're in contact with that person so that we make your life easier. When it comes to you, like anyone who's doing the access control or wiring, there's questions that they'll just throw out a hardware group, and they don't specify voltage. They don't specify, you know, is fail safe, fail secure. Those are sometimes simple questions that we definitely make sure are answered before you get to the site. And you find yourself in a bit of a problem sometimes if you don't ask.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, I've worked in the door space as being a locksmith, but when I was locksmithing, we weren't as heavy on the door hardware as maybe it seems like Lock Plus is. So when in a project do you usually get on site? Like what's the first time you touch on site?
As soon as I can.
Yeah.
I'll go in there before demolition. I'll go in there when the space is empty. As soon as I can be on site, we try to get somebody there, whether it's me or the estimator, we try to get somebody there to look at the site, because a lot of times you can't really know it without actually going to it. There's stuff that they make a measurement and it's based off the building plans, but then you go out in real life and you find discrepancies sometimes, and that could change the entirety of the order. So we try to get there as soon as possible. I always tell my GC or anyone, once it's awarded to me, pictures, ask for pictures as quickly as possible, or are we having a walkthrough? And we try to go out there and look at it. So we definitely try to get on site, get our hands on it as quickly as we can.
Yeah, because what you're providing is specific, right? It's like, it can't just be like, oh, I ordered the wrong strike, but it's fine. It's just a strike. I'll cut this one in. No, you're like down to the quarter of an inch off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And then also, a lot of these places can't get their temporary certificate of occupation without our doors being correct. You know, they can't get the sites opened up without the doors being correct. So although it's something that the frames need to go in maybe sooner, sometimes if they're welded, they got to go up with the walls. So the frames will be delivered to site and then installed, and then we'll go back and check them, make sure they're done properly, so that they're all square to 36 and all that stuff. But if that stuff's not done, when the place wants to open up, we can't finish it up. And then our little scope turns into the reason the place can or can't open up. So we definitely, although we may not be the biggest dollar sign or the biggest, most important scope, we try to make sure that internally we handle it like it's a very important part of the project, because it is. It is something that the clients are going to touch every single day. Mm-hmm. They walk through a door every time they enter and every time they leave, and sometimes multiple times a day, and it has to work properly. Yeah. So we try to foresee any problems that we can, and just take the time to go through those things. It's definitely a big thing we try to do.
During the life of the project, is there any software or tools that you use to kind of like track where you're at on your different sites?
Some of the GCs will use different plans and different projects and apps that they'll invite you to, and you just can go on there and check them. It's funny because a lot of times I'll come to them and I'll say, hey, I checked app X, Y, and Z, and it looks like you guys are at this point. And they're shocked. They're like, oh, no one ever uses that app, or no one ever checks up on that. And I'm like, well, I want to know what's going on. You know, I don't want to be surprised when you guys hit me up and tell me I need to be somewhere and I haven't been paying attention. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I can mentally prepare myself, just being prepared, you know, just knowing that, by the looks of it, getting comfortable with the process, I can know that they're going to be calling me soon, and I'm going to be ready for that. So when they call and they say, hey, oh, we forgot to this and tell you that. And I'm like, yeah, I know, I've been keeping up. So we try to keep up with those processes. As far as any other stuff we do, it's just we try to keep a lot of email chains and keep those things updated. But they definitely, each GC or service provider has their own app that they use. We don't specifically have our own tracking app that will watch the life of the project.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's hundreds out there. I mean, just from the GCs that we've dealt with, like they do. They use a different thing here and a different thing there, and you kind of got to be able to roll with the punches. And I mean, I guess in some instances, so from like an access control integrator side, for the shops that I've worked for that are just integrator and that I've owned, it's like you can kind of run your own project and run that through your own software. But when you're working so close to the plans and so close to the GC, you as Locks Plus have to be a little more malleable to be like, we can work in this and we can work in that. So that probably is a bit of a balancing act at times, for sure.
It can be. It can be, definitely, because sometimes a GC will be more inclined to keep you updated, and the other ones, it's like, you got to decipher it. You know, I'm trying to figure out what they mean by what they want. So, yeah, we definitely have done that. And I think it goes back to being able to be connected with them and talk to them and having those phone calls or shooting them a text message after the day. Hey, man, how's Project A going? How's Project B going? And they're like, oh, it's going great. You know, we should be ready for you. Because then they start opening up to you, you know, because they know you're not just asking because you're just trying to talk about their day, unless you're friends with them, of course. But for the most part, they're trying to say like, oh, this is Locks Plus chiming in again. And all right, I'm glad they're keeping up with the project and checking up on me, because you have to understand that your clients, your service providers, when you're dealing with commercial, they're dealing with a bunch of other locations and they're dealing with a bunch of other subs. And just like I have a ton of questions for them, there's other subs and other scopes going on asking them the same thing. And you can't expect them to remember everything. So we try to run ourselves as our own little, I guess, GC when it comes to that. Our teams are always checking in with each other and we're checking about how things are going. And then also asking our clients, like, hey, just checking on this, just checking on that. How are we looking for this? To the point where you almost feel like you're bothering them, but they appreciate it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point too, because, you know, as the GC, they're dealing with thousands of things. So you might feel like you might feel as if you're bugging them, but yep. They're like, no, I need you to do this because yeah. I can't watch every single thing. So yeah. One of the things I try to always detail on Bid to Bank is the customer experience. And I mean, you've kind of already touched on it, just like how important that is to Locks Plus, but can you talk to some of the listeners about maybe like the one thing that you feel is the most important throughout that customer experience from start to finish?
I know a lot of people like to turn off their phone and try to say that they're 9 to 5 or, you know, like this and that and the other, but when you're a small business or you're a business owner, there are some things that you have to be able to be in contact for, and you have to know those things when they come to you. So where it's definitely been a balancing act. I have kids, I have a wife, I have a family, you know, and being able to answer those calls and just letting them know, even if it's just saying, hey, you know, like I'm in the middle of this right now. I'll call you back later. I'll call you back first thing in the morning, I promise. Sometimes those things make a big difference, whereas if sending them to voicemail doesn't help at all, because they're just like, another person sent me to voicemail. So keeping that relationship with your clients, it's almost like a friendship. You got to nurture it too. And you want to, you know, a lot of these people have started from when they were friends with my dad. And then there's a lot of people that I've worked with their company longer than they have. And you kind of got to talk to them and, you know, become that person that, hey, you know, even if it's not in my area, give me a shout, you know. And I've had that happen from my corporate clients, my construction clients, to my Instagram friends. And I have people in California, thousands of miles away from me, messaging me and asking me questions, you know. So that relationship with the client, with our network, with our group of guys online too, is, I think that's really, really key. It's knowledge that's out there. And it's free, you know, and those relationships are free to have, and but then they can make you money.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, you're right about that, man. I mean, that's true to who you are. I can attest to that you definitely are good about getting back and good about asking when you need help, and those are cool things. And I love your content too. Like that makes me think that the other day you were showing maybe that door cord jig that you had gotten in, and I think I hit you up about it, because I'm like, that's shiny, I want that, you know. So
yeah, right. I don't even know if I'll use it, but I want one. Yeah. I've done that so many times with you guys. I've seen things, and some guys post things. I'm like, I will never use that, but man, that looks cool, and I'll get it. Yeah. But that has helped us too. We get a lot of our tools to do the jobs right. You probably know this as well as anybody. There's always that one guy that's been doing it a certain way for his entire life, and he got, you know what I mean? And yeah. And you go ask him, he's like, oh, you just send a bit through it and it works. And I'm like, okay, I get that. But let's hypothetically think, and this is how I went. I was like, what about ruining a door versus buying the jig that will guarantee that I don't? And I'm eliminating that loss. And then once I bring somebody in, although I might have a way to do it in my brain that I've done it for years and years and years, I want to be able to have those tools and those toys so that guy can come in. He's not going to mess up what they're doing. They can be comfortable doing it. And that'll hopefully help us grow the company long term that way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, those jigs, man, are cool because it's like a template. And you can put a new guy on it that's maybe like experienced with a drill but has never cored a door. And he's going to be okay. You're not worrying that he's going to cost you money by coming out left to the other side.
Exactly. Punching a hole right through the door that's 16 weeks out lead time, and you're like, oh great, now this way I can guarantee I'm good.
Yeah, for sure. What distributor wise like, do you use distributors that are like all over America, or are you pretty local with distributors? Or
I'm lucky. Security Lock Distributor is a big distributor, and their Pompano office, I can throw a rock and hit it. So I'm very lucky with that. We have a bunch of different distributors. ADI is just the same way, so I can pick up stuff from them. I actually work for them sometimes and help them out with the branches, so that's cool. They're right down the street from us. But yeah, I get doors and stuff shipped in, and those things are they're a little bit harder to do. Because a lot of these distributors, they want you to be big, so they want you as a middleman. So we do use some of the local door guys, some of the local hardware guys, but I'm all about the relationships. Kind of like you said, there's a trough. There's enough out here for everybody to eat, and enough out here for everybody. So any place that I can get a product that I know that I'm going to get a good relationship from, I'm down for local or big. I want to make my clients happy. And I want to be able to support other small businesses and big businesses as best I can. So we're definitely always looking for new and always utilizing the relationships that we do have now.
Yeah. And I know I'm kind of like bouncing because we're progressing through and I'm like, oh, I have this question too, or I have this question. So I'm kind of
Go
bouncing
for
all
it.
over. But when you get out onto a site, and can you walk me through a little bit of like what a site survey looks for you for the product that you're in?
So a site survey, if I'm doing like a retrofit, I'm obviously taking what hardware that they want on and finding conflicts. If they want a mortise lock and a cylindrical prep door and why they can't do that, what are the options? Cover plates, redoing the door or replacing the door. So those are things that we try to check for. A lot of that's for the construction side. I would say the construction side is easier when it comes down to surveys because it's either it's going to work or it's not, you know? And when you're doing that type of survey, it's this is what the client wants, and this is what the site currently has. If it's a pre-existing location and we're doing a retrofit to it, there's sometimes you can't fit, a square into a circle, and it just doesn't work that way. So we can make those decisions very easily, talk to the architects, and get those things changed. The service side, as you probably know, is a little bit more difficult when you're doing a survey because you're dealing with so many different products. I'm sure you've walked out on different systems that you have never seen before, or you're like, oh, this is a dinosaur, and how is it still working? And now you got to figure out how to fix it. And none of the stuff that you work on now is any bit similar to that. So you can't even like use the knowledge that you have for that into what you know for that, the other stuff. So it's definitely, I would say that the biggest thing is just having the knowledge and being able to know what the client wants and then what you're with. So we definitely try to look through and find potential problems with those doors, especially with the older stuff that we try to work on.
Yeah, do they got some like dinosaur stuff down there in Florida?
Oh man, yeah, there's some pretty old stuff that goes on, and it's you know what the hard part is about down here is the salt. Because I'm so close to the beach, when you got clients that want you to come work on a panic bar or a concealed vertical rod system that's right by the salt, and they can't understand why it's so corroded. And I'm like, you're getting pelted with salt all day, and it's not going to work for you. So those things are trying to convince them to do a maintenance plan, and then they don't want to. And then you got to go out there and explain why it's a $1,000 fix. So yeah, we do have that. I would say that that's probably the biggest thing. Hurricane damages, wind, rain. It's raining as we speak. It's Florida's weather is crazy. So between salt and weather, it's definitely, even if it's not old, some of these things just don't last their lifetime. So you're dealing with that stuff very, very, very often. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So moving on to the bank section of it, what kind of payment method do you use to collect after those jobs? Like, especially, I'm curious on the new construction side.
Okay. Obviously, like everyone knows, Net 30, Net 60, Net 90, we have those agreements. I don't like Net 90, but sometimes you got to do it with your certain clients. But our standard's usually like under Net 60 and less when it comes to our general services, service calls that we do. When it comes to construction, all of our construction's 50, 40, 10. So there's 50 upfront, 40%, and then 10% retainage. So 10% retainage would get paid once the project is completed, closed out, and keys are handed over to the client. So they keep that 10% retainage. And I understand why, because in their eyes, sometimes with other contractors or other scopes, they won't come back and finish their problems. If you get these punch walks and you have issues going on, and I need someone to come back out here and do $1,000 of repairs to your mess ups, and the guy's not calling you, I have 10% of their money as a GC to pay somebody to come in and fix that. So I understand why they do that. And yeah, they haven't given us any issues with that. Able to get that 50-40-10 has been really good for us. And some big service calls will do 50-50. But yeah, I know everyone has kind of their way and what they've worked with, but that one's worked very well for us. It's been new because construction is about 3 years of history with us. We haven't been doing it forever. So we've been learning that, subcontracts and filling out payment applications. It's almost like you end up doing a lot, the same amount of paperwork as you do actual physical work. Yeah. Because of the projects that you're on and meetings and all that stuff. You spend 6 months on the phone and filling out paperwork, and then you work for a couple months, or yeah, 2 months or whatever it is. Yeah. So that's what we do for payment and collecting through QuickBooks the same, or bank transfers. You kind of got to work with the client how they want to pay, if they're paying you the right way, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Is there any like specific ways that, like, once that money's collected and now Locks Plus is being paid and stuff like that, is there ways that you invest back into your company, or maybe like into the people in your company?
We take salaries that allow us to live a comfortable life as we can down here, and we invest into our company heavily. This company has been going for 30 plus years. My dad has taught me a lot of valuable lessons as far as spending money and buying the right things. We invested in the right lifts. I bought a forklift that I don't think will crap out on me, so I can depend on it. And my drills keep going. I'm not using dead bits and stuff like that. And my trucks too. I spend more time in my truck than I do at my house sometimes. So mm-hmm. we make sure our trucks are comfortable. I got wood flooring in my truck and a microwave. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's my mobile office. And a lot of times the clients will see that and they're like, oh, your truck is put together. Okay. So we're investing in ourselves in that way, making sure the office has what they need. Their computers are good. So we definitely are in a mode right now of heavily investing in the company with the long-term vision of we're four young adults that all have goals and want to be successful. So let's invest now so that we can be comfortable as soon as we can. So we're definitely right now a heavy investment in ourselves, and getting the inventory and the tools that we need is definitely top priority for us. Yeah.
I bet that having a clean and put together van, that's going to speak leagues, especially to the GC. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I've gotten jobs just from them seeing my truck.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Just from seeing my truck, and they'll walk in there and they'll go, this is nicer than my office, or this is, you know what I mean? And yeah, I got a TV in there, and it's stuff that I've done to make myself comfortable, you know. And if you ask for a part, I'm not climbing over 10 toolboxes to get to it and stuff like that. And right. And everyone has a different system. I'm not expecting everyone's truck to have wood flooring and be able to see straight through to the front. But, you know, a lot of these guys, and you can speak to it too, a lot of these guys on here that keep their stuff in check run successful companies. Because, you know, if your truck's a mess, how do I convince my client that I'm going to keep their job site in order or their job list in order? Honestly, if they're like, you can't even keep a hammer in the toolbox, and they notice that stuff. And I think that a lot of times we overlook and think they don't care. They just want the job done. No, like, I got guys who compliment the truck all the time because of that, even to what we wear, you know, the correct outfits. You know, it's 110 degrees outside and I'm wearing long black pants and boots and a collared t-shirt on 90% of the jobs. And then we have the high vis when recommended or necessary for the projects. So that stuff too goes a long way. So yeah, we definitely try to keep ourselves clean. I took a lot of pride in that when I started with my dad, and I was like, hey, well, let's try to just be a little bit different than the other guy and just be clean. And I think that a lot of my relationships now are with companies that are very clean and keep that same view as Locks Plus tries to do and keep across the board.
Yeah, from like a macro level, it's kind of like you know, you keep people around you that you want to be around. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like that for business too.
Yeah.
If you're running your business top notch, you're going to run with top notch clients, top notch business.
We try to. Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely.
Okay, the humbling question, which is my favorite of the Bid to Bank podcast. But what's one area in this entire process that maybe you feel like is a little soft or you'd like to get better at as a company right now in your journey?
You always, you know, accommodating your clients, being able to say no to your clients is a big thing. Sometimes you have to tell them no. So that's difficult because I want to be a company that's always able to do and always able to get what you want. But sometimes you can run around so crazy that you're spread out and now you're not doing a good job. So I know it's like scary being a small business or being self-employed to say no to a job, because then you're thinking, oh, they're going to find someone else and they're going to use me again. But if your job, if your work is good, then they're going to continue to use you and they'll understand and usually make accommodations for you. So that's a big thing. And, you know, just we're trying our best to represent as a small, I would say younger, you know, group of people.
Yeah.
And look big and be able to perform big. And we have been able to do that successfully. It takes a lot of time, a lot of nights where we're sitting here and we're all like, all right, group meeting, what do we need to make better? Where are we at? So while everyone's home sleeping, we're trying to make sure that we're doing what we can to make the process better. So that's definitely humbling. And we know that there's always advances that can be made internally and externally. So we're definitely trying not to be perfect. The same way I've talked to older people in the industry about anything. I'll listen to anybody. I'll talk to an accountant for 10 hours. If they have advice on a company and they can give it to me and I can figure out how to upload that into my company, then I'm going to listen to you. And you never know what little bit of knowledge you're going to get from somebody, whether it's investing in your company or how to put a trim on a door because he's a woodworker and they're really good at what they do. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, I can actually utilize that. So I try to stay as humble as I can. Very humble of me to say so, but I try to, you know, I try to stay calm and just talk to people and learn. And I've gotten a lot of good knowledge from people about how to run companies, how to run business, and taking those little bits and pieces and plugging them in have definitely been successful and I think beneficial to us. So it's definitely trying to stay humble with that stuff and not pretending like you know it all.
Yeah, for certain. Mm-hmm. I think that it's to note that, like you said, you're a smaller company, but you're younger. You know, like in the generation that we're kind of in, like if you run into a door company or a locksmith today, there's a 75, 90% chance even that it's somebody over 60, you know, that's running it, right? And they've been in it for forever. So that is pretty unique.
They got the same tool belt since when they started. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And when I started, I was working for 7 an hour, you know, like.
Yeah. I don't use those tools. I use a hand screwdriver and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool that you're in that situation. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I stay younger. I'm trying to stay young. I'm 31. So
yeah.
I'm trying to stay as young as I can. But, you know, that is young for business owners nowadays. And I've been doing it since I was 15. You know, right. Like I said, I was homeschooled and I was able to work because I always liked money. So I always liked to be able to be successful and kind of changing that and doing it for myself. I can't see it any other way. I being your own boss is fun, although then you just have 1,000 bosses because every client's your boss. but yeah, I would say that we're trying our best to learn from the older generation that started this industry and make a new one, because I think a lot of the industry is very enclosed. The older guys, they don't talk to each other. They're scared you're going to take their tips and steal their clients. And I'm just like, I'm just trying to learn. I'm trying to be successful. I have clients that you don't know and vice versa. I just want to be successful. So, you know, being that mindset and talking and coming on here and talking and sharing knowledge, if it helps somebody, then I'm glad for it. I would hope to be able to help somebody. And I've learned stuff from these podcasts too. So
yeah,
it's definitely beneficial.
That's great to hear. And you're 100% right. Like the guy, it just feels like, especially the hardware side of the industry, they came with an old world mentality that the trough wasn't full. You know what I'm saying? So you share your tips and tricks, then you're not unique to the next guy. And the locksmith that I worked for, he was very much to that mentality. But I feel like one of the shining gems of Instagram or social media is just the industry community that we have around, like, doors and hardware and locks and access control and security and those sorts of things. Like, it truly is a gem. I haven't met anybody that's been hateful or spiteful or not willing to share, just on there to, like, you know, talk down, unless you get on Facebook, but I don't get on that platform. But
we could have a whole podcast about Facebook.
Yeah. Stay away from Facebook. But from the Instagram side of things, it's been very beneficial to meet guys like you and to grow, you know, relationships out of that, and kind of feel like you got something literally and figuratively in your back pocket that if you get into a jam, you can kind of pull out and find the solution to. So, yeah, I think that's good that it's trending towards that, and seeing companies like you, because, you know, in your 30s and running the show and looking like a boss, man. it's really comforting to see from our industry perspective. The last bonus question that I kind of like to tie as a bow on the end of these podcasts is, based on your experience moving in a job from bid to bank, where would you say the focus is most critical in the completion of the job? So where's that point in the whole thing that's maybe most critical to you and your company?
Planning it out, laying it out, you know, the separating your parts and from the computer screen to physical, double checking everything and going through and knowing that these architects and general contractors have a lot of things they're dealing with. These dispatchers have a lot of things they're dealing with. And to have a smooth, successful install with no callbacks, with no punch items, stuff like that, can be possible. And I always say, like, I don't want to have to come back and fix a problem. So I'm going to do it right the first time. And if that takes a little bit more time and going a little bit slower sometimes, I think that's very big and beneficial. Everyone wants to just go and get onto the next stop and get onto there. Sometimes you got to slow down and think it through, come up with a wild way to do it or complete it. But definitely separating all your stuff mentally, digitally, and physically, that can go a long way in making sure the project goes smooth, so you don't get caught in a bind that can be avoided, because there can be a lot of things that can be avoided. Your distributor could send you the wrong item by accident, and you just assume it's all right. Mm-hmm. Those things are common. We're all human, and we all make mistakes. So I would say that's definitely it. And that comes with planning and comes with organizing your day, spending a lot of time paying attention to what you have next and not just assuming it'll just work out. You got to kind of go through your stuff. And I think that definitely going through that process over and over again and making it part of your habit is going to be beneficial to your whole process. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, man, I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast. I really do appreciate it. I was pumped to have you on. You're the exact type of fit that this industry needs, and especially like a podcast like this that kind of broadly strokes at security. Doors are definitely security, and that hardware on there matters. And so just thanks for coming on. Go ahead and tell us where, you know, listeners can find you and DM you and chat and do all that sort of thing.
Yeah, thanks for letting this door guy into the access control party. You know, I'll just stand in the corner and hang out and what I can. But you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, at Locks Plus. And then we try to keep up with that stuff. Even though I don't post a lot here and there, because sometimes you just finish a job and you realize it's done, you didn't take any pictures. We're definitely on there as a way to reach us. And then if there's someone that wants to reach out and talk to me, I'll give you my number. I'm not hiding from anybody. So Instagram and Facebook at Locks Plus. That's where you can find us.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks, Dan. I'm so glad you've been on here. We'll have you on again for something, you know, in the future as this thing grows. So I appreciate it. Thanks for coming, bud.
I appreciate it too. Keep it up, man. I think this stuff is great. And it's helped a lot of people. It's helped me, and I'm sure there's people that may not say it, but they're definitely able to benefit from this stuff. So we do appreciate that.
That's great to hear, man. All right. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you.